as we meet on this, the Lord's Day. Amen. You guys look fabulous today. Somebody said, what's new? Y'all starting to catch on here. There is a word this morning found in the book, the Old Testament historical narrative of Ezra. Ezra, E-Z-R-A. Really, I'm going to deal with chapters 1 through 3 of Ezra this morning. But I'd like to read into your hearing just one verse, Ezra chapter number 3, verse 6. And when you have found it, I would ask that you would stand to your feet for the reading of God's holy word. Amen. As those are still turning and people are standing and the choir is making their way in, let me quickly thank our visitors. If you are here and you are a visitor today, will you just wave at me? Amen. We got two waivers, everybody, up here on the front row. Oh, I'm making myself laugh. Cynthia, Raul, friends of mine, and Karina's from Second Baptist. So gracious that you guys came out here today, and you are our special guests. Make yourselves at home. Amen. Welcome. Welcome. Ezra chapter number 6. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. Here's how my Bible reads. Ezra chapter number 3, verse 6. From the first day of the seventh month, they began to offer burnt offerings to the Lord. But the foundation of the temple of the Lord had not been laid. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Ezra chapter number 3, verse 6. From the first day of the seventh month, they began to offer burnt offerings to the Lord. But the foundation of the temple of the Lord had not been laid. North Oaks, I would just like to speak briefly this morning to your hearts from this subject, portrait of a church united in purpose. Portrait of a church united in purpose. Now, it is an amazing thing that we had an opportunity to walk through Nehemiah. We had the opportunity to see God working in the lives of his people through the man of God, Nehemiah, who led the people in rebuilding the walls there in Jerusalem, reestablishing protection and posterity for the people of God there in the land of their nativity. And today, I would like to encourage you with good news. Today we begin a new sermon series, and the title of the sermon series that we're embarking on today is A Biblical Blueprint for Unity. That's not even easy to say. Let me say that again. This series we're embarking on today is a biblical blueprint for unity, with today's message being Portrait of a Church United in Purpose. It's an amazing thing how God has given us his word and protected his word that we might know who he is and what it is he has prescribed to us and for us as the people of God. And we have a few books. They fit into theologically what's known as the post-exilic books. And we're going to be looking at several of these post-exilic books in our embarking of this series, A Biblical Blueprint for Unity. That's a bit of a tongue twister. The post-exilic books we're going to examine will be Ezra, Nehemiah, Haggai. We may even delve into a little bit of Zechariah. But we will do so to determine what God has to say to North Oaks Baptist Church in such a time as this. And today, as we delve into the book of Ezra, chapters number 1-3, I believe this text is penned to paint a picture for us of what a church united in purpose looks like. Our text highlights, four characteristics of a church that is united in purpose. I'll share these four characteristics with you if you're interested. All right. That's what I want to hear. We'll go over these and I'll be in my seat. How about that? Well, when we look at this text, Ezra chapters number 1-3, the first thing that we see is a stirring up of hearts after purpose. A stirring up of hearts after purpose. It's in the first few verses there, chapter number 1, and then picked up again in verse 5. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, the Lord stirred up the spirit of King Cyrus, of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he sent a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and also put it in writing, saying, thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has appointed me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Whoever there is among you of all his people, may his God be with him. Let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and rebuild the house of the Lord, the God of Israel. He is the God who is in Jerusalem. A stirring up of hearts after purpose. This speaks to God's sovereign orchestration. God's sovereign orchestration. There it is. Our God, North Oaks, is mighty to turn the hearts even of the wicked toward his purpose. Let me say that again. Our God is mighty to turn the hearts of the pagan toward his purpose. It's right there in chapter number 1, verses 1-3. Let me read verse 3. Whoever there is among you of all his people, may his God be with him. This is a testament to the fact that Cyrus was a great man by man's standards. But Cyrus was not among the people of God. He says, may his God be with him. Let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and rebuild the house of the Lord, the God of Israel, not my God. He is the God who is in Jerusalem. Little did King Cyrus know that this God is the God of the universe. It's an amazing thing. Proverbs chapter number 21, verse 1 lets us know the king's heart is like channels of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wishes. Jeremiah 29:10, thank you, Dave, for reading it. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you to bring you back to this place. Amen, somebody. Isaiah chapter number 44, verse 28. Isaiah prophesied years ago, it is I who says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd. And he will perform all my desires. This is how big our God is, North Oaks. And he declares of Jerusalem, she will be built, and of the temple, your foundation will be laid. Our God is mighty to turn the hearts of the pagan toward his purpose. And yet he is faithful to keep his covenant promises towards his people, towards us. It's right there in chapter number 1, verse 5. Look at what it says. Then the heads of the fathers' households of Judah and Benjamin and the priests and the Levites arose, even everyone whose spirit God had stirred up to go up and rebuild the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. He turns the hearts of his enemies, and he's faithful to keep his promises to his people. What promises, Pastor Orr? I'm glad you asked that question. Promises of prosperity. Promises of prosperity. We read it early today in Jeremiah 29, 11, verse 8. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity. Well, not only promises of prosperity, but then the Lord has given us, North Oaks, promises of posterity. Right there in Jeremiah 29, 11, B. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity. And then what does it say? To give you a future and a hope. I like what the Bible says in Jeremiah, chapter number 31, verse 17. There is hope for your future, declares the Lord, and your children will return to their own territory. It's an amazing thing. Can you imagine the people of God stuck in Babylon for 70 years, wondering if they'll ever make it back? When I read my Bible, God had already told them, I will bring you back to your own territory. North Oaks, we serve a God who is able to stir up the hearts of people after purpose. Well, not only the stirring up of hearts after purpose, but the second thing we see is the raising up of help according to purpose. The raising up of help according to purpose. And what this speaks to, North Oaks, this speaks to heaven's divine calculation. Heaven's divine calculation. What do we have? First of all, the building fund has been calculated and approved in heaven. I like the way the Bible puts it in Luke, chapter number 14, verses 28 through 30. For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who observe it begin to ridicule him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. North Oaks, we serve a God where the building fund has been calculated and approved on our behalf already in heaven. And if that doesn't get you excited, I don't know what will. Well, let's break it down here. Number one, God will cause the heathen to donate after our purpose. It's right there in chapter number 1, verses 4 and 6. Look at chapter number 1, verse 4. This is King Cyrus, the last half of his decree. Every survivor, at whatever place he may live, let the men of that place support him with silver and gold, and with goods and cattle, together with the freewill offering for the house of God, which is in Jerusalem. Not only did the king say, I'm going to let you go back, he said, but the people who are around you, I want you to give and support the building project. Support the people of God in purpose. Look at verse 6. All those about them encouraged them with articles of silver, with gold, with goods, with cattle, and with valuables. Aside from all that was given as a free will offering. Let me break it down to you. Oh, the people of God are getting ready to go back. The king has ordered us to give. Let us give. Here, take this man of God. Take this woman of God. Take this child of God. Oh, don't leave just yet. Let me give you some money. It don't matter what context you talk about money. It's going to get quiet in the place, I'm telling you. But not only will God cause the heathen to donate, but God will restore to us what our enemies have stolen from our purpose. I don't know about you, but I don't like when people steal from me. I feel some type of way when somebody get caught stealing from me. Well, I serve a God who will make a joker that stole from me give it back. I can't make it up. It's right there in the Word. Look at verse chapter number 1, verses 7 through 11. Also, King Cyrus brought out the articles of the house of the Lord, which Nebuchadnezzar, old thieving Nebi, had carried away from Jerusalem and put in the house of his gods. And Cyrus, king of Persia, had them brought out by the hand of Mithridath, the treasurer. And he counted them out to Sheshbazzar, the prince of Judah. Now this was their number, 30 gold dishes that belonged to the Lord, 1,000 silver dishes that belonged to the Lord, 29 duplicates that belonged to the Lord, 30 gold bowls that belonged to the Lord, 410 silver bowls of a second kind, and 1,000 other articles, all that belonged to the Lord. All the articles of gold and silver number 5,400. Sheshbazzar brought them all up with the exiles who went up from Babylon to Jerusalem. God will cause the heathen to donate to our purpose, North Oak. God will restore to us what our enemies have stolen from our purpose. But then thirdly, God will cause leadership to go above and beyond for purpose. It's right there in chapter number 2. Ezra chapter number 2, right about verse 68 and 69. Some of the heads of fathers' households, when they arrived at the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem, offered willingly from the house of God to restore it on its foundation. According to their ability, they gave to the treasury for the work 61,000 gold drachmas and 5,000 silver minas and 100 priestly garments. It's an amazing thing what God is doing in the life of this, his people here at North Oaks Baptist Church. Let me talk to this side of the room. It's an amazing thing what God is doing in the lives and in the hearts of this, his people at North Oaks Baptist Church. What do you mean, Pastor? People have looked and said, God is doing something at North Oaks. Can I give a little bit more? I go in there and I look in my box. Here's a check. Here's a check. Somebody said, Pastor, I know you're going in your, you need some furniture in your office. I'm going to donate it all. It's an amazing thing when you read the Word of God and you see Him stirring up the hearts of the people and you see the same thing taking place right now. What can you do other than say, God, we give you glory. God, we give you glory. Not only has the building fund been calculated and proved in heaven, but God appoints leaders for accountability and oversight of our purpose. North Oaks, God has given you leaders that He has appointed and anointed for accountability and oversight. Don't take Gabriel's words for it. Look here. First of all, we have the leadership team. Look in chapter 2, verse 2. Ezra chapter 2, verse 2. We're introduced to the leadership team. I couldn't make it up. These came with Zerubbabel, Jeshua, Nehemiah, Seraiah, let me put a pin there. That's a different Nehemiah than we talked about a few weeks ago. Re'eliah, Mordecai, Bilshan, that's a different Mordecai from Esther. Bilshan, Mizpar, Bigvi, Rehum, Baana. That's the leadership team introduced there in chapter 2, verse number 2. But not only the leadership team, but we also have the leadership heads. the leadership heads. It's right there in chapter number 3, verse 2. Ezra chapter number 3, verse 2, we have the leadership heads. Turn there with me, if you will. God makes sure there is no ambiguity about the leadership heads. Ezra chapter number 3, verse 2, and then we'll drop down to verse 8. Verse 2, then Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and his brothers, the priests, and Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and his brothers arose and built the altar of the God of Israel to offer burnt offerings on it. Who are the leadership heads? It's right there. Jeshua and Zerubbabel. Go down to verse 8. Now in the second year of their coming to the house of God at Jerusalem, in the second month, Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and the rest of the brothers. You see how God goes to great lengths to make sure, let there be no ambiguity about who it is that I've chosen, I've appointed, I've anointed for accountability and oversight. It's not just the United States that cares, that seems to care about accountability and oversight. God cares about accountability and oversight. How many know that God has appointed us leaders, North Oaks, for accountability and oversight of his church? Not only the stirring up of hearts after purpose speaks to God's sovereign orchestration, not only the raising up of help according to purpose speaks to heaven's divine calculation, but thirdly, are you interested? Thirdly, we have the setting up of God's altar. Above purpose. The setting up of God's altar above purpose. And what this speaks to sanctified motivation. Sanctified. Now, it's one thing to be motivated. But just being motivated in of itself can be a very dangerous thing. But when your motivation is sanctified, Clovis, that's the kind of stuff that move mountains. That's the kind of stuff that walk over to a mountain and say, mountain, be cast into the sea. And it happens. Dave, that's what you be talking to me about. Sanctified motivation. North Oaks, a church united in purpose, number one, first of all, understands that God's altar has priority over all. And Jennifer, what does all mean? What do you teach those kids over there? What does all mean? Put all the toys away. That mean they can keep one? All means all, right? God's priority, God's altar has priority over all. It's right there in chapter number 3, verses 1 through 3a. Don't take my word for it. Ezra chapter number 3, beginning with verse 1. Now when the seventh month came, and the sons of Israel were in the cities, the people gathered together as one man. They were united, North Oaks, to Jerusalem. Then Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and his brothers, the priests, and Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and his brothers, arose and built the altar of the God of Israel to offer burnt offerings on it, as it is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. So they set up the altar on its foundation. Get this, for they were terrified because of the peoples of the lands. And they offered burnt offerings on it to the Lord, burnt offerings morning and evening. So they set up the altar on its foundation, for they were terrified of the peoples of the land. Look at Matthew chapter number 6, verse 33. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto thee. What's going on here? Let me paint the picture for you. The people of God return. They return to the land of their nativity, and they look and they see the ruins. The Bible says that the people go and find a place to live, and they make straightway, they go straightway to the temple. And they said, before we even worry about the automatic garage, before we get the Bluetooth and the Wi-Fi set up in the house, the first thing we're going to do is get this altar set up. Because the people of God recognize there were some crazy folk around them. Yes, yes, yes. In 722, when the northern kingdom fell to Assyria, the Assyrian practice was to grab all of these people, bring them, carry them away from their land, and then dispatch other people that they had stolen and taken from other lands and repatriated them in the land of Israel. And so when the Jewish people go back to their own territory, there are a lot of strange people around. And these strange people are doing a lot of strange things. It was scary. Guess what they did when they got scared? We got to bow the knee. Because when we bow the knee to God, He is able to protect. Now, what we want? We want to call the police, do all this restraining stuff. What we ought to be doing? Getting down on that altar, praying to our God when things around us are not going the way, and we recognize it's some strange folk that see what we're doing here at North Oak, and they might want to cause us problems, but Lord, let us build first your altar. Before I get comfortable in my house, let me build the Lord's altar. A church united in purpose understands that God's altar has priority over all. But a church united in purpose restores prescribed worship unto God. Verse 3b through 6. They were terrified of the peoples of the land, and they offered burnt offerings on it to the Lord. Burnt offerings morning and evening. They celebrated the Feast of Booths as it is written and offered the fixed number of burnt offerings daily according to the ordinance as each day required. And afterward, there was a continual burnt offering also for the new moons and for all the fixed festivals of the Lord that were consecrated and from everyone who offered a freewill offering to the Lord. Verse 6. From the first day of the seventh month, they began to offer burnt offerings to the Lord. But the foundation of the temple of the Lord had not been laid. North Oaks, a church united in purpose, understand that God's altar has priority over all. Prescribed worship unto our God must be restored. But then they understand that stewardship of the Lord's money wisely and purposely. A church united in purpose stewards the Lord's money wisely and purposely. It's right there in verse 7. Then they gave money. I tell you what, one day I'm going to say that word and it's not going to get quiet. Then they gave money to the masons and carpenters and food, drink, and oil to the Sidonians and to Tyrians to bring cedar wood from Lebanon to the Sea of Joppa. I've been there. It's an amazing place. According to the permission they had from Cyrus, king of Persia. And let me throw this in parenthetically. A church united in purpose understands and stewards the Lord's money wisely and purposely. Don't you go get all bent out of shape because you gave money when we raised money here and you gave money and you don't like the way the money's being spent. Well, I don't think they should. They went and bought this over here and they went and spent it on that. They should have spent it on this. And if I'd known they were going to do that, I wouldn't have gave. Let me tell you somewhere. Sit down and stop. Sit down somewhere and stop. And I'm going to tell you why. God has anointed and appointed leaders to lead wisely and well. And he will hold them accountable if they mismanage his funds. When you give to the house of God here at this church, once you give to the purpose that God has purposed for us to build at this church, once you give it, you and God good. You good with God. You and God are good. I can't stay there alone. The stirring up of hearts after purpose, God's sovereign orchestration, the raising up of help and support according to purpose, heaven's divine calculation, the setting up of God's altar above purpose. First and foremost, the altar has to go up. Speaks to sanctify motivation. But fourthly and finally, the offering up of praise ahead of purpose. The offering up of praise ahead of purpose. North Oaks, it's right there in verses 8 through 13. Now in the second year of their coming to the house of God at Jerusalem, in the second month, Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel and Jeshua the son of Jozadak and the rest of their brethren and the priests and the Levites and all who came from the captivity to Jerusalem began the work and appointed the Levites from 20 years and older to oversee the work of the house of the Lord. North Oaks, the offering up of praise ahead of purpose, this speaks to magnified adoration. Magnified adoration, because the church united in purpose submits to the plan and purpose established by the leadership. A church united in purpose submits to the plan for purpose established by leadership. Don't take pastor's words for it. It's right there in verses 8 and 9. Now in the second year of their coming to the house of God at Jerusalem, I read this twice on purpose. In the second month, Zerubbabel, that's a leader, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, that's a leadership head, the son of Jozadak, and the rest of their brothers, this is the leadership team, the priests and the Levites, and all who came from the captivity to Jerusalem began the work and appointed Levites from 20 years and older, that's discernment, to oversee the work of the house of the Lord. Then Jeshua, that's an amazing thing, he's over the, that's the crew chief. If Zerubbabel is the project manager, Jeshua is the crew chief. Look at what it says there. Then Jeshua with his sons and brothers stood united with Kadmiel and his sons and the sons of Judah and the sons of Henadad with their sons and brothers, the Levites, to oversee the workmen in the temple of God. You got the one Zerubbabel. He's overseeing the work, the construction of the temple. Then you have Jeshua making sure that he keep an eye on the workers. There is a method to the madness that's going on here. We're going somewhere. And it has to be done decent and in order if you're going to glorify God. Now, if you want to glorify yourself, do what you want to do. Not on my watch. But if you want to glorify God, God has laid out how it's done. Not only does a church united in purpose submit to the plan for purpose established by leadership, but a church united in purpose participates in corporate praise when appropriate. When appropriate. It's right there in chapter number 3, verse 10 and 11. Now when the builders had laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests stood in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the son of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord according to the directions of King David of Israel. They sang, praising and giving thanks to the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his chesed, loving kindness, is upon Israel forever. And all of the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Oh, I like what the Bible says in Psalm 34 and 3. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Psalm 113, 2 and 3. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forever. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, Psalm 34 and 3. And let us exalt his name together. North Oaks, a church united in purpose, participates in corporate praise. But finally, a church united in purpose accepts that progress is often met, get this, with mixed emotions. Pastor, you rubbing your head. You ain't got no hair up there. I know. I'm scratching my head anyway. I'm going to act like some hair up here. A church united in purpose understands progress is often met with mixed emotions. If you think for one second that I believe everybody is happy with the way I'm leading, think again. I know everybody's not happy. Listen, I just left Second Baptist Church under Dr. Ed Young. I know for a fact everybody's not going to be happy with the way I'm leading. But guess what? As long as God is happy with what I'm doing, I shall continue. It's an amazing thing, because if I find myself getting discouraged, he always sends one. He sent one this morning. Jane, you came and gave a perfect word to me. I walked over to the organ. Doesn't she play so beautifully? And I was listening to the music, and I moseyed over there, and she gave me an encouraging word. It was right on time. That's the kind of God we serve. You don't take my words for it. I'm scratching my head again. It's right there in verses 3, chapter number 3, verses 12 and 13, and we're in our seat. A church united in purpose accepts that progress is often met with mixed emotions. Verse 12, yet many of the priests and the Levites and heads of the father's household, the older men who had seen the first temple, wept with a loud voice when the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid before their eyes, while many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not distinguish the sound of the shout of joy from the sound of weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the sound was heard far away. That's my encouragement. There will be those who will look and see what the elders and the leadership of this church, I don't like the direction they're going. It ain't stacked up to what it used to be at North Oaks. And they will whine. And yet our great God, he has a group of praisers that are praising so loud, we can't tell the whining from the shouting. So guess what I'm going to do when I hear somebody whining? I'm going to act like they're shouting. I'm going to act like they're praising. Y'all know I whine sometimes too. Sometimes I get discouraged and I look at the way things used to be and I say, well, we ain't there yet or we're not moving fast enough. But God gave me a praiser in my own house. And she reminds me, I'm still praising. Let me end this before I get emotional. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that we don't have to wonder what a church united in purpose looks like. You've given us a blueprint in the Word of God. And all we have to do is trust you. Don't let the folk put their trust in me, because I'll fail them in a heartbeat. May their trust and my trust be corporately placed in the only name that is above all names, the only one able to turn a rebel sinner's heart to saving faith in Jesus Christ. We love you and thank you. Amen.
O soul, are you weary and troubled?
North Oaks, today is a great day. And this is the most reverent part of our service. This is the part of service where we open the doors of the church to receive those who, number one, don't have a saving faith in Jesus Christ. Here's the gospel in a nutshell. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He left glory and came to earth, put on flesh. He veiled his glory in order to walk on this earth about 33 years, healing the sick, raising the dead, and perfectly keeping the law. And the plan was predetermined, according to Ephesians chapter 1, that he would be the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And he goes up and is suspended from heaven and earth between two thieves. The Bible said anything that hangs on a tree is a curse. He became a curse to pay the penalty of the sin of every man, boy, and girl that will look to him and find him to be a perfect Savior. And that Jesus, the Son of God, the God-man, died. And he was buried. And he was put in a grave. But early Sunday morning, God raised him from the dead. Do you know why I do what I do? Do you know why you are in these pews right now? Let me tell you. Because we know that Christ's sacrifice was sufficient. How, Pastor, do we know that Christ's sacrifice was sufficient? Because Christ got up. Because he got up. It was sufficient to assuage the wrath of God against sin. And now we stand with what Fred calls positional grace. Because although I'm still on earth, I've already been positioned, seated with my Savior, united with him in his death, united with him in his burial, united with him in his resurrection, and I am united with him in glory. And if you don't know him, you ought to get to know him. Also, if you're in the room and you don't have a church home, you know the Lord, but you're kind of bouncing around from church on. Let me tell you something. This church, we got a building project going on. God is doing amazing things. And I can't think of any more perfect of a time for you to come and join what God is doing. And if you need prayer, you say, Pastor, I just want to turn my heart to Jesus. I want you to stand and I want you to walk forward and give me your hand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Heavenly Father, we ask that you will move right now in the hearts of your people, that you might be glorified in their deliverance today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.